Stand by for the Terry Saul Show. 5, roll tape. 4, cue Terry. 3, bring audio up. 2, stand by. 1.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host, and I'm so glad that you joined us this morning. Today's Terry Saul Show is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler and the Lule Group. We're talking Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule State Farm Insurance. Today, our special guest is our newest member to the KSLM family, Stacy Ann, who's going to be on each and every morning, Monday through Friday, from 7 to 8 o'clock. Good morning.
Good morning.
And where's Stacy Ann from? You're not a local girl, are you?
Well, actually, I am from Salem, Oregon.
Are you really?
I moved up here in 1979 when I was 10.
From where?
From Long Beach, California.
Okay.
And I went to Shirley Elementary School and Judson Middle School and graduated from Sprague High School. I'm an Olympian, fully Olympian,
yeah.
And so excited to be back in Salem, Oregon. Away to college and live life, and now I'm back. And
where'd you go to college?
I went to school at NNC, which is Northwest Nazarene College. Now it's University in Nampa, Idaho.
Okay.
And then finished in Black Hills State University in
I did a
South
show
Dakota.
In Nampa, Idaho. We did a stand-up show up there a few years back. It's a pretty area over there.
It's gorgeous. The Boise area and that whole valley is just a beautiful area. So it's been a life full of adventure, and I'm just thrilled to be back in this area. Never really thought I'd have the opportunity to come back, and I'm just very excited.
So what is your background then? You've worked radio before?
Yes, I sure have. I always tell people it's kind of been my paid hobby on the side. I've been in radio close to 30 years, mostly
music. Well, if you're trying to impress me, I got you beat. I got 40 years on
you. I bet. Well, you are a little bit more
older. Is that what you're trying to say?
Than I am.
Advanced,
yes,
that's what you're trying to say. Is older. Yes,
mature.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I won't use that senior word, but you know. I've been in radio.
Where'd you work?
I worked at a radio station that was originally in Spearfish, South Dakota, KSLT. Okay. FM, and they had a 5-state region, 100,000-watt radio station.
Nice.
Started out while I was in college. I was the evening reflections girl.
Now, what is that? The evening reflections?
Well, we would play more softer, easy listening music. Of course, it was a Christian background radio station, but we would actually, I remember going in and I'd stack up the carts for my whole show and have them in order. And we'd have the little, like the sponsor, weather sponsors on a little key ring, you know, and we'd flip them around and read the sponsors. And we'd actually answer the phone and be there for people talking to them. It was a live show. I remember sleeping in the studio on cold, wintry nights, watching the tower and taking tower readings. And I even had to apply back then for license to be on the air, if I remember, in the olden days.
I think the third class license, if I remember right, could take a reading. The first class was you were required to have that in order to reset or cut the power. It's been so long ago. I don't remember.
It's been a season, hasn't it?
It's been a while ago. But yeah, back in the old days, we used to do it all.
Yeah.
You'd spin the records there. And when I was over at the other radio station across town, we gave a tour to some Cub Scouts, and we had an old turntable. Sitting in the air studio, and this one kid's looking at it there, and it had a 45 on there, and he says, "Man, that's a big CD player you got there." And I go, "Yeah, it certainly is." I go, "Do you know what that is?" And he goes, "It's a CD player, right?" I go, "Yeah, that's what it is." You know, they had no clue.
No idea. Yes. And so then I finished my college degree and went in my field. My background is in sociology and human services, double major, and I was a caseworker at a local nonprofit. So I was out of radio for a couple years, and then the station bought land in Rapid City where I was working and built a whole new studio, and they acquired another station. So they had, at that point, two stations, and in that time frame, within a few years, they got another station, a different, similar format, more talk radio with a Christian influence there. Mm-hmm. And so they'd asked me to come back. And I came back and was a host for about 2 years of a morning show in the morning. And that was a lot of fun. And then that's when voice tracking started being really popular in a cost-effective way for stations, small stations, to stay afloat and stay on the airwaves.
People may not know what voice tracking is, and what that is you go in there in advance, lay down your show.
Exactly.
And you punch it into the computer, and the computer will play it, and it sounds like you're live.
But
we are live right now.
We are live right now. And the cool thing about that is that you can kind of edit back and forth, but the reality is you want it to sound live. So I've learned over the years to allow some of the mistakes you know, when mm-hmm. I had done voice tracking. But I did the voice tracking then and have filled in as an announcer for several years up until the time I left South Dakota and moved to Arkansas, where I walked in very similar to what I did here. Hey, I have radio background. I have a voice. Can I be of help? You know,
right,
and
right.
I had a show for the last few years at a radio station in affiliated with John Brown University in Siloam Springs, Arkansas, where I had a Sunday show announced with the music. And then I would be their number one fill-in person. If someone was gone or on vacation, I would fill a spot,
right.
You know, in the evenings or midday or whatever.
The first station I worked at was a 50,000-watt AM station in San Jose. And it was run by Mr. Bill Weaver. And we used to call him Mr. Weaver because mm-hmm. that's what we called him.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was there for a while with him. He had some openings. And when I asked him, I said, well, can I apply for the opening? He told me, no, you go somewhere, get 3 years' experience, and then I'll bring you back.
Wow.
You know, but you know what I can do. I've been in go somewhere. So I did. I left and went to New Mexico. That's when I got locked out.
Wow.
I was doing the night show from 6 to midnight. And again, when you're doing a music show, you're by yourself in the building. There's nobody there.
Right.
What I would do is around 10:30, 11 o'clock when you're starting to get sleepy, I would go out and run around the building once. Richard Harris, MacArthur mm-hmm. Park. That was a 6-minute song. So you
right.
know that you can almost wash your car in that time.
Right.
But I put it on and I shot out the building and I ran around, and when I came back the door shut and I couldn't get out there, and I'm just like, and we didn't have cell phones back then and I had to run about a half a block down to the gas station, call the program director, woke him up and I says, hey Jim, can you come let me in? He goes, let you in where? And I says, into the station. He says, where's your keys? And I go, they're in the control room.
Yeah.
And he says, and where are you? And I said, well, I'm down the street. And he says, what are you doing down the street? And so I told him what I did. And he came down there. And, of course, he let me in there. And he says, do me a favor. Don't ever do that again.
Right.
Don't ever do that again. So I thought, okay, from now on, if I'm going to run, I'll do it during my time off.
Exactly.
And as you could see, I quit running. You know, I just don't do
it. Either that or you get a clip and a keychain and put it on your belt buckle.
Exactly.
Decide to go running.
You just don't.
Running.
Well, you don't leave the station. I mean, you're going to get into trouble anyhow doing that.
Right. And
but,
it's
you know,
changed.
What you were saying, though, is that back in those days, one person ran it all. You did
exactly.
your whole show. You screened your calls. You put them on the air.
Mm-hmm.
You did the rip and read for the newscast or whatever. I was on the air when Elvis died, and I have a tape of that.
Wow.
I was making an air check, and I just happened to have the tape running, and I heard this bell ringing inside a closed door off of the control room there. And I mm-hmm. thought, what is that bell ring? Going ding, 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 ding. Well, I didn't realize that's where the teletype machine was. And at that time, it's about the size of a dishwasher.
Right.
And I heard it ringing, ringing, ringing. I thought, what is that? And the newsman walked in there and says, here, read this. We were playing Tony Orlando and Don, Tie a Yellow Ribbon. And I interrupted it and did the report that Elvis had died within the past hour. And I actually have the tape of that.
Wow.
And the weirdest part of all of it is I sounded so young. You know, I listened to that and go, man, I was young back then.
It's interesting how we mature and those things that are significant in our eyes. I remember being on the air, hearing the terrible story about the Littleton, Colorado shooting. I think that was in the early 90s or so. How tragic that was, and how that bulletin had come in during that time. And
Columbine University.
And the
Columbine.
Columbine. Yep, that's what it was. And just things, how life, our life, how it affects each and every one of us in our day-to-day life, these news events, these issues, these current events, and how do we process that? You know, I think being on the air, working through some of those, taking the calls, talking to people through that, I think is a valuable tool. Radio still to this day, even with advanced technology, we have the ability to really come alongside our community and add value.
Funny you would mention that particular event is that I lived in Sheridan, Colorado,
mm-hmm.
And my son would have been in Columbine that day. He would have been in high school that day if we hadn't moved out of that, because that was the school he was going to go to, mm-hmm. was Columbine. And you just don't know.
Yeah, you don't really know. Yeah.
So when you were on the air and you had to obviously cover that, how do you keep your emotions intact, or do you?
Well, a lot of when you have music as, you know, your music station format, you have the ability to kind of process through a song and maybe even change up your songs to lead into that. And of course, being more of a faith-based format, we could also talk about, you know, our faith or stop for prayer, those kinds of things. But it is very, very tough. It's a tough thing, and yet you just kind of do what you do. You just step in and realize that at that time you're the voice, you're the leader, you're passing on the information, but you got to also be strength for the listener and make sure you're accurate in what you're saying as far as the information, and be there for them as they process.
But you can never know if you're totally accurate or not, though, because the information's coming in so fast.
Correct.
I remember listening to some audio tape that I did on a show that I did about the Kennedy assassination, and the reports that they were initially getting was that Mrs. Kennedy was hit, Johnson was hit two cars back, and you know, all that stuff turned out to be false, but the information's coming in so fast. There was a reporter on another radio station here a few years back, it's been a while, that when the earthquake hit, he got on the air and said, the bridge has collapsed.
Whoa.
The Marion Street Bridge has collapsed. How did you know about that? Well, someone told me. No, dummy. Don't go saying that.
You got to validate the information, and you'll always say, you know, a lot of times if you even watch, if it's done right in the news, they'll say, you know, unverified information. This is initial report,
sure,
or things
sure
like that. Yeah, hearsay is tough in radio.
It certainly is. It'll get you in trouble every time.
The nice thing, though, is you can still, a person's testimony, or I say their own witness or their own experience, there's still value to a personal truth of someone that has happened to them, or if they're there, rather than trying to pass or re-paraphrase what they're saying. You know, it's important to get people that have been affected personally by something. No one's going to dispute that because it's their own truth and their
sure
own perception.
So when you left radio in South Dakota?
I was in South Dakota, and then I moved to Arkansas.
Sunday Arkansas.
Springs, Arkansas, yes.
Well, that's quite a jump going from South Dakota to Arkansas.
It was a beautiful jump.
Yeah.
Arkansas is still has my heart.
Did you go there for radio, or did you go there for love?
No, actually, I went for a new experience. My youngest daughter and I went there and enjoyed the adventure. I'm a foster adopted mom, and
oh, nice.
My youngest daughter Bree was the last one left in the nest, and so we went and enjoyed a beautiful experience in Northwest Arkansas. And in that time, that's where I did some consulting. And with
what type of consultant?
Well, I've got a background in nonprofit management.
Okay.
And so I did some fundraising and some helping nonprofits, young nonprofits, develop a strategic plan and fundraising and grant writing and things like that. And that's also where I did radio. And it was a fun adventure. Got my daughter through the last couple years of high school and got her
that's always
promoted,
tough.
Yes. She's the last one to be promoted, and she's doing fantastic. She's got a wonderful job. She's back in Arkansas still, running the little farm. We have chickens and kitty cats. And
look at
and
you.
She's paying rent. She's yeah being all responsible. I'm so very proud of her. And she's working, and she's taking some classes in college, and just very proud of Bree.
All right. So let's get personal now. Tell me about, in the last 2 minutes here, tell me about your personal life here. I says, how many children do you have?
I have three that I've given birth to,
mm-hmm,
one a stepdaughter,
mm-hmm,
and then I have Bree that is my foster adopted daughter. And so
we don't have enough time to get into the foster thing right now because we only have about a minute and a half left to go, but I'd like to get into the foster program because I think it's a wonderful program.
Fantastic.
And I'd like to talk about it. So you've got, what did you say? You have three children.
Three that I've given birth to.
Okay.
One
and two that
I,
you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you've got five kids.
Yeah,
what do you
five,
do in your spare time?
Yeah, exactly. Ask me that 10 years ago. There wasn't much now. And I have grandchildren. I have my fourth one.
Aren't they great? Aren't they
tremendous.
The best?
Yes.
They are the best.
Yes. And so right now I have a kitty cat that's back on the farm that we miss terribly, but no pets here so far. We have found the kitty sanctuary, though, and spent a little time over there here in Salem,
mm-hmm,
and we've so far not been bit by the kitty
not
cat
yet
bug yet.
Yeah.
But
it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming. And you have a significant other here in town?
Yeah.
And with a heck of a name?
Oh, my goodness. His name is Terry.
Hey, I know that guy.
He is. He has my heart. And
yeah,
he has...
we haven't met him yet.
No, you haven't. And when you two, you both will...
Does he have a warped sense of humor?
Oh, he's got a great sense of humor.
My kind of guy, then.
You two are going to have
my
a great time.
My kind of guy, then.
Yes.
Hey, listen, we need to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guest, Stacy Ann. She is our newest member to the KSLM family. You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM. Today's show is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler and the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule, State Farm Insurance. Hang on, we're just getting warmed up. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the Terry Saul Weekend Show. We are talking with the newest member, Stacey Ann from KSLM here. She is on Monday through Friday from 7 till 8 o'clock. And we were talking just a moment ago. I want to dip back into this if we couldn't. That you're a foster mom.
Yes, I am.
Now, first of all, I heard that that's a very rewarding experience to be a foster parent.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about, how did you get started doing that? What made you want to become, you have, you know, a dozen kids as it is. Why do you want more?
Well, I always say after two, when you have the third one, it really becomes a family because he goes after one, you go after one, and who's going to go after the third anyway? So you have the same resources and energy, you know, for that many, why not more, right? Well, actually, when I was in high school.
I could think of reasons why not more.
When I was in high school at Sprague, I had a few friends that I got to know there that were in the foster care system at that time. And I remember thinking, wow, these families open up their hearts and their homes and bring these kids in and take care of them. What a phenomenal thing. And I always, that was a seed planted in my heart that I always knew that I wanted to take care of kids that were left behind, deserted, for whatever reasons the parents weren't capable to care for. And so even when I went to college in Nampa, Idaho, I worked for an organization called the Hope House, who exactly was a, like an not an institutional, it was just a big home that took care of kids that needed help. And they worked along with the state and had this foster home. And so I volunteered and worked there with the kids. And so it was something that's been a dream of mine and in my heart for many years. So when I got to a place where my kids, my youngest was 10, I think they were 10, 15, and 16, somewhere in there, I decided I want to look into this because I've been very involved in an advocate for life, for working in nonprofits, working on behalf of pro-life issues. And I've always thought if people are going to make that their mantra, we need to also be thinking about the kids that don't have families and what can we do. And so that's kind of works hand in hand for me. So I started investigating on what the process was, and I got trained. It was 12 weeks of training to become a foster parent.
What do they train you as? I mean, you've already got three children. What are they training
well,
you to
it's,
do?
Well, it's really, really good. And of course, my background's in sociology, human services, crisis management, all of those things. And
were you a single parent at that point?
Not at that point.
Okay.
I had been previously, but not at that point. They talk about communication. They talk about the special issues that these kids are facing and what you're looking at bringing them into your home, how the dynamics can affect the children you already have in the home, all of those kinds of things. Fantastic training. You hear from foster parents that are already fostering and what their expectations were and what the reality was. So by the time you went through this 12 weeks, you really knew, you, for the most part, you didn't have the practical experience, but you really knew what you were getting into. And the beautiful part about it, which I'm sure it's the case here in Oregon, as it was in South Dakota, is when you go through that and get trained, you kind of learn what age child are you willing to bring into your home. For me, I found those kids anywhere from the 4 years old on to about 9 or 10 was my zone that I really was good with. And they were younger than my children currently, so I think it worked real well. I had some interesting experiences with children.
How many have you fostered?
I want to say 8 or 9. And
really?
And the seventh one was Bree, who we adopted. And so it's a very unique situation. I've had people say, well, how can you do that? How can you love on these kids and then let them go? And I don't look at it that way. In fact, I have a brother-in-law. I have an older sister. I didn't know I had an older sister until I was 33. And her husband was in the foster care system and never really knew his parents. His foster parents gave him a whole new perspective on life. And because of that, he was able to go in the Navy and not go the path of his younger siblings, which has not been a good track record for the younger siblings. But my brother-in-law has done very well in his life. And he says it gave him a different viewpoint. With that and knowing him prior to being a foster parent, that was kind of the mantra that I went through. I'm going to give these kids, even if it's just a week or 2 weeks or just a weekend in my home, I want to give them another way of life and what's possible for them. And so that's kind of how I you know, moved ahead.
Marie Osmond, who's a good friend, has adopted three children.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time I was sitting there and we were just talking about this before a show. And I said to her, Marie, which children are the adopted ones? And she looked at me, she says, you know, I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
What a perfect answer. That's the perfect answer.
Right.
I don't remember.
Well,
I love them all. I don't remember.
The funny part about my story and Bree's story is she's the only one of my children that has that has red hair and looks like me. In fact, she really takes after my mother. You get my mother, who's a redhead, and Bree and I together. My mom is left-handed. She's about the same height as Bree. Has dimples like Bree. We look like family. It's incredible. And I tell Bree and I tell people that she wasn't conceived in my womb. She was conceived in my heart.
Good
long
for you.
Time ago. Yeah. And so even though I talk about her as my foster adopted daughter, it's not so much that she's marked differently than the others. It's more that her story is pretty compelling, and there's no mistake that she was intended for our family.
She's part of your family.
Yes, she is.
Now, when you do a foster care, can you do more than one child?
Depending on the size of your home, depending on the logistics at the time, I had a home, 5 bedrooms, 3 bath on a couple acres, and so we had lots of room. Because we were a blended family, my older kids would go back and forth,
right.
And so we had plenty of room, and so sometimes I would take sibling groups, and sometimes they were just respite in between. When Bree came to us, I was in a break because I had had an accident and ruptured 3 discs in my back and had back surgery.
Oh.
Yes, that's a whole nother story for another time. Pretty amazing story there, how I was healed up. But during that time, I took a pause on any foster care kids. And I had been about 3 weeks into my recovery, and they called and said, I know you're on hold right now, but we have this little gal and she looks just like you, Stacy. I'm probably going to get in trouble for calling you, but would you please consider?
Tug at the heart.
I said, let me talk to the fam and we'll get back to you. And that night was the night before Valentine's Day, February 13th, 12 years ago, she came into our home.
And you never looked back.
And never looked back.
Have any of your biological kids ever resented having the foster kids in the house there?
All of my kids have been incredibly good as foster brothers and sisters.
So they're very secure in their own.
Oh, yeah. They're just superb, and they love Bree, and they were good with the other. I mean, not normal kids stuff, you know, that would happen in between. And if anything, if a couple of the kids that we had were a little dangerous to themselves and maybe a little bit risky for the family, just based on their abuse and trouble that they've had, they all handled it very well. Very proud of them.
Was there ever any drugs involved?
No. No, none of that. We had a difficult boy at one point who was very violent towards his younger sister that we had at the time. And it was actually one of my other children who said, hey, Mama, I saw this happen towards the little sister, and I think it's troubling. And with that, we ended up having those two, the brother and sister, moved for more hands-on care, more than what we can do.
How long would you keep a foster child? Is there a time limit that they give you?
A lot of it depends on most of my foster children. We're Native American. A lot of times the tribe would step in and family. They look for family and things. And so the shortest time was 2 weeks. The longest time was about 4 months before we got Bree.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with Stacy Ann, who's on the air Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock right here on KSLM. Back in a moment.
The Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM. Today's show is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler. The next time you plan an event, think of the Queen. And by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance.
We are back. This is the Terry Saul Weekend Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host. Today we are talking with our newest member here to the family, Stacy Ann. She is on Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock in the morning. Are you aware that you're on Salem's original radio station?
I'm pretty excited about
that. Neat?
I do think that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I don't know when the station was originally founded. I think it was 1940-something,
mm-hmm.
And then it just kind of went through some different changes. It was an oldie station for a while, and mm-hmm. then and now it's talk radio.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Are you a big fan of talk radio, or do you like playing music, or what is it?
Well, I am a radio gal. I love listening to the radio. I like listening to music, and I like talk radio, and I've been really into podcasts recently, and I've also gotten kind of into YouTube listening to people, and that's the power of the internet anymore.
Sure.
And that's the beauty of what we're doing. You know, when I tell people back, I know people all over the country because of the travels and the work that I've done, you can download the app and take us anywhere you want to go.
We have a listener that actually listens to me every week from Spain.
I love it.
And she sends me an email after my shows and says, oh, heard you today. I'm talking about blah, 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 blah. And I'll shoot her back and say, so what's the weather like in Spain right now? And
she'll
sit there. And it's amazing because before it used to be you had to be in the area to listen to the station, but now you can hear us all over the place.
That's pretty amazing with technology. And we're in the last 10 years, even in the radio business. And it's neat because it's enhanced the experience.
So when you're not raising your chickens and your kitty cats, what do you do for hobbies?
Well, I love to ride motorcycles.
Oh, get out of here.
Yep.
Seriously?
I am a biker chick.
Like a Harley Davidson biker chick?
Absolutely. Yes, yes.
Really?
This is something kind of a cool story. I live for 20-some years not too far from Sturgis, South Dakota, right? So we have the biggest biker rally in the country.
Yeah.
And this year is the 80th year.
Really?
And so I
was there a week before, and there's a lot of action going on a week before.
Yes, I tell people, if you don't really want to avoid the crowds, come in the week before.
Yeah.
Because everything's set up. It's just, and you can actually do some great sightseeing and riding beforehand. So yeah,
ride to Sturgis?
So, well, when you live there, you can ride in Sturgis, but the last few years I've been working in Sturgis, and so you don't really ride then. You ride before or after, but I had made this kind of vow to myself that when I'm 50, by the time I'm 50, I want to have a Harley. I didn't know that years before hitting 50, I would find a man with a Harley, and has just been absolutely a blessing in my life. And so I've learned so much about motorcycling, and yes, I have my endorsement. I don't have my own bike yet. I got my endorsement last fall. I've mostly been a passenger, but we've been all over the country working at the rallies. And so what happens is that Harley Davidson contracts with individuals to come in and help them during the rallies, like we've been to New Hampshire, the Laconian rally up in New Hampshire, Daytona, Panama City. Those are in Florida, of course. Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue in Arkansas, Rogers, Arkansas, and Fayetteville. And it's really neat. It's like a family. People who ride motorcycles, it's not quite like it used to be in the days. Yes, you have the MCs and the one percenters and things like that, the gangs.
Right.
But you also have a lot of individuals like myself who said, when I get to this point in my life, I want all this hard work. My recreation is going to be riding motorcycle. And so it really is a fun group of people who are very charitable minded. A lot of times they'll gather around a cause. Just last week I went to in Corvallis, a wonderful fundraiser for helping bikers who have been hurt and things like that. Several motorcycle groups came together for this casino night fundraising event. Mm-hmm. It was fabulous to see the community coming around and meeting all the people out here who love to ride like I love to ride, like we like to ride. So what brought us out here is Terry was offered a job at Harley-Davidson here in Salem.
Nice.
Life was good in Arkansas, but we thought, why not come out and experience the adventure? Since this is my hometown, why not come and experience Salem and the people of Salem at this point in our lives? With all the kids out of the nest, promoted, as I like to say, why not spend some time here?
I was doing a show in Daytona Beach during one of the biker weeks. Mm-hmm. And I remember I rented a car and I was driving down this street, and it was wide enough for one card lane, and there was bikes on both sides. And then elderly couple in front of me, I could see them rolling up their windows and stuff, and like they were scared. I rolled down all four of them. I wanted to hear it.
That's right.
It was it was so amazing. And I remember stopping at some place to grab a burger and a beer, and the people there were just the bikers are just, they're cool people.
Very much
they're
so.
They're cool people.
And we've seen that even in small towns we've gone into with all of our leathers because of the weather.
Sure.
You know, wearing our chaps and everything, and people kind of looking a bit by the time we're cutting up with them and laughing, the community people. And it is interesting being in Oregon. Oregon is a helmet state. Arkansas and South Dakota,
right,
you do not have to wear helmets, although I do have a helmet. Mine's a real biker chick type of helmet. It's got the crystals and the blingy bling on it. And
good
so
for you.
You're going to be on a bike and have to wear a
helmet. We used to call them brain buckets.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
You know, I don't talk about this often, but I rode with the Angels.
Wow.
Yeah. Don't be too impressed. I only rode with it for about a mile and a half. But my brother he had a Sportster. Mm-hmm. At the time, and he used to ride with the Angels. One day, there's a group of them had left our house there. My mom would fix them a big spaghetti dinners on Sunday, and they come up to the house there. And she was the only one that would tell them, you guys get your rears outside and take off those dirty boots, and then you can come in. And they would.
And they respected
that.
Oh,
they did.
That was
they knew
mama
better.
Bear.
That was the mama.
Yes.
And there was one day where they took off, about five of them took off, and I had my little Yamaha 200, and I jumped on that, and I was going down the street, and I kind of caught up with them, and I was just, I was cool. I was hanging back riding with them, and they were laughing like, what is this guy, a nut?
Yeah.
And I rode with them for about a mile and a half, and then they turned off. And so that was my excitement about riding as an angel.
It sounds like kind of like my driving a race car experience.
No!
Mm-hmm.
Where did you do that at?
Well, my brothers and my dad, and I have family and a like family. In fact, they're in the Albany area. My Uncle Butch were in race cars for many years. And one of my things, kind of like wanting a motorcycle by the time I'm 50, I wanted to be in a race car. And so I was about 30-ish in that time, and my brothers were in a race. And this was a cruiser class where my one brother, Rob, would drive, and my other brother, Jason, would run the pedals. So they'd sit in front with each other. So
really?
It's just a really interesting class, and this was in South Dakota. So I was invited after the race to be able to get in the car, and I got to run the pedals of the car while my brother steered, and we got to go around the track. And then we got to go out of and down below, and I thought it was so cute and so smart. Being in the car, got out the window just like you do, you know, and you swing your legs around until I heard this big rip on the back of end of my jeans and ripped out the so I got humbled real quick. But it certainly was a fun thing to be able to say, yeah, I've been on a track in a race car.
Yeah.
You know, wasn't doing it all. I was just running the pedals, but it still was the excitement and the thrill of being able to do that. And I do have this thing where I like to go fast. I like the speed. I like the going on the rides, you know, and the adventure. And nothing more thrilling than going on a ride where you're giggling the whole time and exhilarated from
even
the
even
adventure.
now that you've turned 50 years old,
yes.
You still are into that?
Oh my gosh, yes. We went to not Six Flags, of course. I've been there many times, but this was in Branson. They have the Silver Dollar City, which is full of fun rides. When my daughter graduated last May, we had my mother is 70, my daughter that's 27, Shelby, her husband, and my sister-in-law was there, and my youngest, I have a younger one now, but my young grandchild, Chloe, was 7, and myself. We were all on this ride, and in Branson, it's all trees and hills, so you can't really tell, like, at Silver Dollar City what these rides are. But we got on, I guess, one of the most adventurous rides that's, like, highly rated for all this adventure and twists and turns and stuff. We had no idea what we were getting into, and all of us rode this ride. And both my granddaughter and my mother said, never again. It was quite an adventure, but yes, everything that I can experience, I want to experience those things. It's pretty fun.
See, as you get older, you kind of, I don't want to do that anymore. I used to skydive.
Oh,
and
wow.
When I was in my early 20s, I would jump. I did 13 jumps.
Mm-hmm.
My last jump, I hurt my ankle pretty good because I thought I was going to stand up like everybody else does.
Oh, boy.
And they tell you don't stand up. And I thought, well, I can do that. I'm a tough guy.
Yeah.
I wasn't.
Yeah.
And it hurt. And then my jump master was doing a stack where they almost sit on top of a canopy, one on front of the other, and they got tangled up, and they came crashing down into a crowd at Mile High Stadium, and he was killed there. And I thought, no, I think I'll find something.
Done that. You don't need to do that again.
I'll take up bowling.
They do have something in Las Vegas, though, when you're there doing your show. Have you ever done the Stratosphere?
Yeah.
We've been
up there.
To me, that's
well, that thing goes over the side.
Mm-hmm.
There's like it's almost like a roller coaster type thing where it goes over the side and then comes back up.
Well, they have that, but they also have a rappelling thing that you can actually like drop down. It's like people
not gonna
say
happen.
It's like, yeah,
what? Not going to happen.
I think that would be
because
fun.
I didn't take a change of pants with me. Not going to happen.
How about the Fremont when they go flying over Fremont?
Now that I would do.
What
is that thing called?
It's a thing.
Yeah, that doohickey thing where you get strapped on and you just shoot across Fremont Street.
Yep.
Now,
what
see, I would
called?
Do that one.
Not rappelling, but it's a...
No. I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. My 7-year-old parents just did that off of a cruise up in Alaska. So if they can do that, I can do Fremont Street, I think.
Well, I don't know, though. Fremont Street's pretty wild. Yeah, have you ever been down there?
Not yet. I've been to Vegas a few times, but never to Fremont Street.
You're in a whole new zoo when you go down Fremont Street.
All right.
And it seems like it's real quiet during the day. Then all of a sudden, like 6 o'clock at night, they say, okay, release the animals. Because every coming, it comes out. It's,
don't
I did
feed
a show
the
at the Plaza, which is right at the end of Fremont Street.
Okay.
And I was opening for Louis Anderson at the time, and I couldn't wait to get out of there so I could get onto Fremont Street because of all the excitement.
All the action I had.
Zip line. That's what it is. I knew it.
We were having a moment, weren't we?
Yes.
I've been to New Orleans when it was really, it wasn't during any celebration, but just a normal packed, you know, crowd going down the different venues there in New Orleans. That's probably the closest to Fremont Street I've been. And of course, Vegas is upgraded so much. They have the walkways and things that you're not really down on the strip, on the street like you used to be. But it's fun to go and adventure new places, and are you a people watcher? Absolutely.
We are.
Absolutely. In fact, that's the part of the airport that I miss since 9/11.
Yeah.
Is watching those reunions and the departures right at the gate.
Yeah.
You don't get to see that as
we're
much.
We're people watchers, but I have to be careful because Patty's a people pointer.
Oh,
look at that guy over there. Honey, put your finger down. Would you quit pointing to that guy over there? He's going to beat me up.
Oh, I've got a fun story about people watching.
All right,
if you want
to
talk about
it. Let's take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to hear your fun story. Our guest is Stacey Ann. We're going to get into a little bit about what her radio show is all about. We'll do that in just a moment. A quick break. Don't go anywhere. As I said before, we're just getting warmed up. Today's show is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler and the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule, State Farm Insurance. Back in just a moment.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler. We're back in 5, 4, 2, Terry, 2, 1, you're on. You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler.
Good morning. We are back with our final few minutes of The Terry Saul Show. Our guest today has been Stacey Ann. She can be heard Monday through Friday beginning at 7 a.m. right here on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. Before we took a break there, we were talking about people watching and people, I guess, staring?
Yes.
Yeah.
Analyzing. Yeah.
Discussing. Gossiping.
Filtering. Trying to figure out.
Do you do that a lot?
Well, my background's in sociology and human services, and so I've been trained by schooling and life experience to kind of get a sense of where people are at in a short amount of time.
So you're using that as the excuse to be nosy?
No, not necessarily. I use it as a way to understand deeply about people and why they would believe or think the way they do and have more of an understanding and more compassion, I think. I look at it as a skill that way. With my kids and teaching them, in a sense, to be discerning but not judgmental, because what you see is not always what you get. You don't always understand. And so helping to raise up the empathy, you know, we would do things like make stories about people that we see, what their story was, or think about, like, at a restaurant, you know, you see a couple over there and they're hardly talking to each other, or they are really engaged. Maybe it's their first date. You know, we kind of have these little side dialogues, and we'd see people and do those kinds of things. And it's just a fun adventure to help kids understand that what you see right there isn't maybe all the story, you know, and help them be more perceptive and compassionate towards. If you see the people holding the signs at the side of the road, there's assumptions that can be made, you know, that maybe they don't want to get a job, but maybe they're unable to get a job, and that's all that they have at that point, you know. And I remember my son, Dylan, my oldest son, I have a real heart for the military and for veterans and those serving, and that's something we really haven't gone into. I'm a daughter of a man who was in Vietnam, you know, and so I've always had a real heart towards our military. And there was several men coming in, and gals as well, in the National Guard that were serving, and it was on my heart to buy them lunch, but
do
it discreetly. And my son was probably 17 at the time, and it was at a Subway, and I just gave my little debit card, and I said, I want to buy, there was maybe 5 or 6 is all in a line. I want, when they get up here, I want to pay for, don't tell them who, don't point me out. I just want to do it discreetly as a gift to them. And my son has told me that over and over again. He's thought about that act of kindness, and has really thought about, what can I do to do those kinds of things in his circle, in his day-to-day life. And it's just been those kinds of teaching moments with kids, I think, are important, and passing on your values and being real community-minded and driven, which ties into why I'm so excited about this radio show and the opportunity to do this Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann. I really want it to be a compelling time of looking at today's issues. And yes, we are a talk radio station that deals with politics, conservative politics, and really help people kind of sort through the issues and find out why they believe in what they believe in and what do some of these things mean. You know, when we have people busy getting their kids ready for school and making sure they have their lunch money and juggling their work and their school and their community activities, it's hard to really do the investigating or understand. All you hear is talking points all day long.
Right.
And it's easy just to want to tune it out. But there's real things going on at the city council level, at the state house, at the commission level that are impacting our day-to-day lives. Taxation without representation is really going on right now in our community. And we need to be a part of that so that we know when it's time to take action, what's the best action for us based on our values and our family. And that's really what I'm hoping the show can help sort through and bring some good conversation, some good facts, and let the people kind of sift themselves out of where they land on the issues.
Now, are you going to be interviewing people?
I plan to do some interviewing. I would like to interview local folks that are impacted by local issues that are going on. I look forward to bringing in, if we need to, some reinforcement from many of the contacts that I have at the national level, other states that have gone through similar issues. In the past, I've been a very strong advocate of on child alienation, making sure the alienated parent has a right to a relationship with their child, whether that most of the time that's dads being alienated from their children, and having some father's rights things. There's a lot of issues that are important to me because they've been important to the people that I've been in contact with through my work in the nonprofit area in the past.
Are you going to have some lighter moments on your show?
Oh, yes. In fact, I'm really good at laughing at myself. yes, I want to have it to be fun, lighthearted, encouraging and uplifting, but also empowering and engaging at the same time. So in my experience working with radio, in the short times we've had a chance to visit and talk in between songs, a lot of times it's funny and fun, but it's also can poke in areas of our lives that we need a little reflection and maybe some exposure to why do we feel that way and why did I act this way, you know, and being real. People need people to be real with them, and by being real gives them permission to be real back.
Now, will you be able to take phone calls from listeners?
I believe we're going to have some time where we'll do some interaction with callers, and I'm still learning all of those details and how that all works, but yes, long answer to your
question. Well, they missed with the equipment now. We got all new equipment in here again, and mm-hmm. just as I was getting the hang of it, they switched it around on us.
So. Yeah, so there is that ability. We'll see how that all plays in, and certainly people can interact through email. I'll have a Facebook page. Of course, our news station here has a Facebook page too, so I want input. And I do want community interaction and engagement.
Now, you'll also be talking a lot of local stuff as far as traffic, what's going on right now in the area.
Right.
And weather as well, because, mm-hmm. I mean, we're still could have some snowy days.
Yeah.
We just don't know.
I just saw a report that the closer that we get into March, the less and less likelihood in this area. But that doesn't mean within 20 minutes as you go towards the mountains or even across the range to the coast, you can run into some snowflakes. So those things are important.
And that's one of the things that I think is really important there with all the years of being in Salem, especially in the morning, is letting people know if you have to go up I-5 to the Portland airport, mm-hmm. or if you're going to go down south to Eugene or something, they need to know if these roads are clear. And
right.
that's one of the things that you're going to be staying on top of to let people know where they need to go and how to get there, right?
Exactly. And the other one local issue that I've run across that I'm kind of excited about is that they're really looking at the Salem airport about trying to make that more usable. So I'm looking into investigating, finding out a little more about that, what does that look like? Because it'd be great if we didn't have to drive all the way to Portland or down to Eugene to access flights to where we want to go.
They had it a couple of years ago. I think they were going to Salt Lake City. They had United was in town and they were going a couple of flights a day back and forth from Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
But now, from what I understand, they're talking about maybe going up to Portland, flying to Portland, where you can take a little charter to Portland and catch mm-hmm. another flight to wherever you need to go.
Fantastic.
So we'll just have to wait and see with that. Well, it's been exciting meeting you, and we're looking forward to having you on board here. And again, your name is Stacy Ann. Is that your real name?
Yeah.
You know what my real last name is? It's not
what?
Saul. It's not. You know what it is?
I'm probably going to butcher it.
Saltalamacchia.
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 13 letters.
Well, my radio name has been Stacey Ann for the last several years, and my legal name is Wolman, Stacey Ann Wolman.
Yeah.
And so it's been quite the adventure, but people just know me by Stacey Ann.
Yeah, they know me as that guy on the radio.
Hey, you.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we have about 30 seconds left before we need to sign off here. Is there a Facebook page that they can get in touch with you if they want to ask you some questions?
Yeah, you can find me at Good Morning Stacey Ann. And
you stayed up all night thinking that one, didn't you?
I know, isn't that crazy? Jeez. And then you can also email me, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news.
Stacey, it is a pleasure to meet you, to have you on board, and you come back and join us anytime you want.
Will do. Thank you for your time.
You take care. Stacey Ann is our guest. She's on Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock right here on KSLM. It's going to be a fun show. I guarantee you'll enjoy it. Check it out. Stacey Ann on KSLM. We are just about out of time for today's show. Remember, you can catch our show every Saturday at 10 a.m. and a replay Sundays at 11 a.m. here on Salem's original radio station, KSLM. A reminder, if you missed any of today's show or would like to hear any of my shows, you can always hear a podcast on our official KSLM website at www.kslm.news or on my official website at www.terrysaul.com. If you would like to drop me a note, I would love to hear from you. My email address is terry@kslm.news. We'll see you next time. Take care and be safe.
You've been listening to The Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM. Today's show is brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler. The next time you plan an event, think of the Queen. And by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Holmes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance. That's a wrap. Thanks, everybody. Good show.
Bye, everybody.